And we are back for a Saturday WNBA 2 game slate. I'm your host, Kenny Taylor, and you can follow me for all things basketball on Twitter at OrangeDFS. But we got two teams on the back-to-back. We got some star players questionable. Maybe make it their return. And we got two potential blowouts. But before we get into this, I want you to know that Sports Ethos has partnered up with BetOnline. And BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. Rather, it's preseason NFL or the start of college football, BetOnline has you covered with every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. Think you know your stuff? Jump into our winners take all 300K NFL Survivor Pool for the upcoming season. And when the game's over, the fun doesn't stop. Head over to our online casino for a game of blackjack or poker. Or just unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. So what are you waiting for? Head to the website today and use promo code BLEAV and get in on the action. Bet online, the game starts here. Right, we got a two-game slate that is going to be tipping off in New York, who will be playing the Sun, who are on a back-to-back, probably the best game of the night, and going to New York to be on a back-to-back. Right now, Vegas got New York as 7.5 favorites, and the game total, not the highest on the slate, but we do got 156.5. When it comes to this game, it's really going to be news base, since right now New York has Enescu as questionable. I believe she missed the last three games for the team. And of course, Laney is still out for New York as well. Then on the Connecticut side, while there's nobody questionable right now, the team is on a back-to-back. So it's always going to be weary of news to come out at the last possible moment. But given that everybody else is healthy and playing and starting on a home team side, I think Breonna Stewart will be the safest play for cash games on this slate. At 11-3, I really don't see how she can not get to the line at least 9 times in this matchup. So if you're able to see her free throw prop at 6.5 or lower, definitely play the over on that. If you want to go a little bit cheaper, Kayla Thornton is 6'5". Even if Enescu returned, I don't see her minutes getting below 26, 28 range. And her shot volume isn't heavily affected by Sabrina Breen on the court or not. It's more so if she's able to get into her spots, get off a couple three-pointers, knock them down. Then, of course, if she's able to get you a couple stocks while she's in the game. But for 6'5", I don't mind playing her for a chance of getting 20 fantasy points out of that. If you want to go a little bit cheaper, a little bit more riskier, and have a GPP option, Sabali has been getting some pretty consistent run. Don't really give you much in terms of usage, but she does have the ability to get you a few stocks, get you a few rebounds. And if there's offensive rebounds involved, she can give you a putback or two. Now, moving on to the Connecticut side, it's going to be difficult to really gauge who to take on this side, since when it comes to who to fade, I have a better idea. Mabry is definitely somebody I'll be looking for in props, especially if her 3-pointer line comes in at 2.5 or 3. I'm definitely going to be looking to play the under on that. I don't see this performance manifesting into a new Marina Mabry for the Sun team, especially on the back-to-back. Moving on to DFS, Thomas is priced at 10-2. In cash games, I don't mind going over there. Even in GPPs, I believe the ownership will be low enough, especially since she's coming off of a back-to-back. But if the game total is to say anything about this matchup, she would need to have around 40, 45 fantasy points in order for it to stay competitive enough to just be a 7.5 spread on that 156 total. Going a little bit cheaper, going more GPP, Breonna Jones is 8K on this slate. Her usage kind of went down ever since Mabry been on the team, which is somewhat surprising. Knew somebody's shots would be getting taken away, then that figure was going to be Breonna. But at 8K, you have the potential to get a 35, 40 point DraftKings night out of her. And ownership should be below 25%. So on a 2-game slate, I really don't mind taking a chance on that as a mid spend up. Then if you're trying to save money, want to have some young legs on the floor, Veronica Burton is 4-6. Her minutes could range anywhere from 12 to 16, but if you think she might get some extended run due to a blowout or somebody sitting out, I really don't mind running her. Not too dependent on shots to get there. Has the ability to get to the line. Is she able to get it going? But she can also get you a couple of rebounds, a couple of assists, and a couple stocks as well. So definitely somebody to use as a GPP option if the lineup takes you there. Now, moving on to what I guess would be considered the primetime game of the night. We're going to have the Indiana Fever taking on the Minnesota Lynx. The game will be in Minnesota, but the spread isn't too bad right now. Minnesota's only favored by 4.5, and the game total is 167.5, which is surprisingly low for a Fever game. The main thing you need to take away from this is Minnesota played last night, about 23 hours before this game. So some players might become questionable as the day come closer to this game. When it comes to props, I'm looking at two players on the Minnesota side. If McBride's 3-pointer come in at 2.5, even if it comes in at 3, I don't mind playing the over on it in that matchup. And I would say the same for Bridget Clarendon as well. If her 3-pointer line comes in at a 2, maybe even 2.5, I don't mind playing it over on that as well. I do see this game going over the total since most Fever games tend to be played at a higher pace, especially if Minnesota's coming off of the back-to-back and they might need to play a little bit of catch up due to a sloppy first half. Now, moving on to DFS. I know a lot of people will be looking at Collier, especially after her performance last night. Forgot what it was like 30 and 20 almost. Definitely a Kevin Love type of night, but I'm will be fading that. I don't see a repeat 65 fantasy point game coming in for Collier, but I do see a lot of value for some players, especially if Courtney Williams is out. If Williams is out, McBride is 7-6. I really do see her usage increasing if this happened. Plus, that would allow her other numbers to go up as well, such as her rebounds and assists with Williams off the floor. So, GPP or cash at 7-6, McBride is definitely a solid play on this slate. Heidemann is probably my second favorite play for the Minnesota side. If Williams out, she's not going to produce you that many fantasy points per minute, but she should be able to stay on the floor enough to get you around 25 fantasy points in this spot. Her upside in this matchup could be as high as 35, maybe even 40, if, you know, the stars aligns for her, but I'm only expecting 25 out of her. So for 5-4 in cash games, I don't mind running her at all. And the last play on the Minnesota side I have interest in, it's definitely going to be a GPP shot, but Diamond Miller been in and out the rotation as of late. And if you're in a GPP and you feel like, you know, Williams out, it might give Miller a little bit more run on the floor. I don't mind taking a shot on her in a GPP line. But outside of that, don't have too much interest on the Minnesota side. If you want to take a chance on Alana Smith, I understand why, but I did not get there in my lineups since I feel like the price is a little bit high for if she has a floor game. Now, moving on to the Indiana side. A lot of people will be playing Clark in this matchup at 11-7. I will not be one of them. I understand the logic of the play, but I don't see this being a ceiling game for him. I don't even see this being a double-double game for him. She should finish around 40, maybe high 30s fantasy points. And for 11-7, I feel like you can construct your roster a little bit better. So when it comes to Indiana, Kelsey Mitchell is probably going to be my highest spend up for this team. Her usage rating has been up, field goal percentage been up, and she's actually increasing her three-point volume ever since the end of the Olympic break. So I'm definitely going to have interest in her at 9K. Really could see her getting 30 actual points in this game as a possibility. And if this shot continue to fall, she's definitely going to be somebody who's going to have that 10K price tag starting next week. Then as a GPP play, Nelissa Smith is 7-8. We know how sporadic her play is. So if you feel like this is a spot where she can flourish, going to have a higher usage rating, and actually convert on her shots, I don't mind playing her in GPPs or even cash games at this price. She definitely has the possibility to get to around 45 DraftKings points in this spot if everything lined up for her. But as we all know, if she's racked up the foul trouble pretty early, you'd be lucky to get out of this game with a 7-8 price tag with 10 fantasy points. Now, the last play that I had some interest in was a little cheapy. Hasn't really been on the floor as much since it seems like Letsi Hall is kind of taking that role from her in a way. But Erica Riller is 4K. Definitely would just be a GPP play. But I do feel like an uptick in minutes should be coming for her eventually. I don't see her being stuck in this 9-5 minute tier. And I do see her getting bumped up to possibly 12-15 minutes a game. Again, it won't get you too much, but if she's able to get things going and the minutes happens for her, she could get you 18 fantasy points at 1% or lower ownership. So again, with these GPPs, especially on these two-game slates, you need to find somebody who has the a realistic possibility of getting an increase in minutes and somebody who's going to be less than 1% owned if you really want to differentiate yourself from the field. Outside of that, that's all I have for this slate. Not my favorite slate of the fantasy season, but we got some star powers on there and a couple ways to get there for it. Again, if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at OrangeDFS. I'm always talking about all levels of basketball. And as always, when it comes to these lineups, hopefully you're able to take down whatever contest you're in. And, of course, hit whatever props that you play. Till next time.